All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is Friday, December 2nd. This is the second hour of Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with birthday boy Aaron Zummers here as well. Again, happy birthday, young man. And I always like that I can say young man, especially to somebody less than half my age still.
Ooh, yeah, 24 today.
24. Wow. 24 was, let's see, I got married at 22. We had our first kid at 24 and our second kid at 26, both while my wife was in medical school. So you got some catching up to do here.
I could not imagine being married or having children right now. Not even close.
Well, here's the thing. We thought we were old, wily adult veterans at this point because both of our moms were, I think, 18 when they got married. And I came along at 18 and she came along, my wife did, when her mom was 19. So we were mature at 24, you know, waiting to start a family then. But yeah, got married right like a few days after I graduated college. The first year of our marriage was her senior year of college, and she would actually commute from Rice Lake because the job I found coming out of college was at WAQE radio in Rice Lake. So she'd have to drive down to UW Eau Claire. Then it was off to medical school in Milwaukee and kids coming after that. And I'm trying to think what I did for my 24th birthday would be, well, she was pregnant with our first daughter, Samantha. So it wasn't a wild one. I can pretty much guarantee that was the case. I was working early morning radio at WBKV in West Bend. So I was up equally early, but you weren't around because you hadn't even been born yet. So I can't even count you as one of the potential listeners back then. So that's how much time has passed, which is not at all depressing. I keep hearing I'm supposed to, embrace how gracefully I'm aging and whatnot, but now you've made me all reminiscent. So damn you for having a birthday, Aaron. But anyway,
yeah, I'm just too old now. Cause then it makes everyone else feel old.
That's it. I mentioned last hour, I got through much of the last hour, but I suppose we're going to talk about Ye, formerly Kanye West. And I remember now, again, I haven't fully kicked the Twitter habit yet, although I have really noticed the quality has plunged, and I'm trying to get both Post and Mastodon to be as, you know, timely from a news standpoint as I find Twitter to be when it works well. Anyway, had it open on my desktop, and suddenly it did, you know, it blew up, as we like to say, with people saying that Kanye West, Ye, was being interviewed live by Alex Jones and was, I mean, not just anti-Semitic, but like full-blown Nazi, saying Hitler wasn't that bad. So it actually made Alex Jones look uncomfortable and almost moderate by comparison, though of course not really.
That is impressive.
Yeah, I know. So the Washington Post article says that the rapper Ye praised Adolf Hitler and Nazis in an interview Thursday with far-right provocateur Alex Jones, drawing a fresh round of condemnation for his incendiary antisemitism 1 week after he dined with former President Donald Trump alongside white nationalist Nick Fuentes. "I like Hitler," a fully masked Ye told Jones. Minutes later, the rapper said, "I love Jewish people, but I also love Nazis." Alex Jones nervously laughed and added, "Well, I have to disagree with that." The denunciations came far and wide. One of the more impressive ones came from Norm Coleman. He's the former U.S. Senator from Minnesota, former mayor of St. Paul. He's now the chair of the Republican Jewish Coalition. He and their chief executive called Alex Jones, Kanye West, and Nick Fuentes, quote, "a disgusting triumvirate of conspiracy theorists, Holocaust deniers, and anti-Semites. Conservatives who have mistakenly indulged Kanye West must make it clear that he is a pariah. Enough is enough. The conversation with Alex Jones focused on the dinner last week between Yee and Fuentes and Trump, which occurred 1 week after Trump announced that he was going to run for president again. And it all underscored Trump's long-running ties to and refusal to fully denounce public figures known for spreading hate speech and baseless conspiracy claims. Because again, as we have said, Trump knows he can't win anything. He won't be popular at anything unless he continues to hold on to the most extreme, the most prejudiced, and the most, I'm just going to say it, ugly aspects of American citizenry. He is a bottom feeder at this point. And that's all he's got going for him, knowing it will get him attention. Kanye West has known that as well throughout his career, is, you know, that in he has learned the lesson that there is no such thing as bad publicity. Well, until you start saying nice things about Hitler and the Nazis, and apparently that's where the line is. But again, it's getting attention. We're going to leave it at that, simply to say that it was said, it was quickly and widely condemned, and Alex Jones was loving it. He was talking about how the whole world is crazy, the power structure is coming down, but this is absolutely lit. This is lit, 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 lit. We are the number one show in the world right now. That's what it's all about to ugly people like Alex Jones. Back after this, this is Up North News Radio.
Four.
Well, as we've talked about a few times here, and as others have throughout the week, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race is going to be huge. It's going to be so big because it will determine control of the court. Right now, conservatives, I would argue right-wing justices, occupy the majority of the court, 5-4. And the at issue here is who will control it in the future, and whether that will flip instead. I think I said 5-4, I meant to say 4-3, and whether that will flip because of a seat that's going to be opening up in April. Now, a lot of the discussion this week, of course, is focused on Waukesha County Circuit Judge Jennifer Doerrle, who is a conservative running. We spoke earlier in the week about how she went to law school at TV preacher Pat Robertson's online university, as did Dan Kelly, the other conservative candidate in the race, who is a former state Supreme Court justice. And it's worth noting in an article put together by Dan Bice at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that conservative groups spent millions upon millions of dollars in TV ads against Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in this year's U.S. Senate race, focused on his opposition to cash bail for defendants awaiting trial. And yet that is similar to the position of Judge Jennifer Doerrle. As we mentioned throughout the campaign, Mandela Barnes was not operating in a vacuum. There are not only Democrats and progressives, but conservatives and Republicans who want to get rid of a strict system of cash bail. Now, perverted billionaires were able to, perverse the definition of eliminating cashless bail into meaning we're opening up the jails. Anybody who would normally be held till trial, no matter how dangerous they are going to be let out on the streets. And as much as some folks tried to say that's not what it means, it certainly sounded that way to enough voters when they heard ads enough times from these billionaires operating these super PACs. And yet these same billionaires and these same political action committees are likely going to be dropping millions and millions of dollars to criticize progressive judges who are running for state Supreme Court. And they're not going to say boo that Judge Jennifer Doerrle, one of the conservatives in the race, has spoken out about her concerns with cash bail. Doro has told members of a legislative study committee that the state's current system comes up short. In, let's see, it was 4 years ago this month when she said there is a huge body of evidence about whether cash bail is keeping communities safe. There's a lot of concern that it doesn't, saying that there might be a time and place for it, but that it needs reform. Now, the reform that we've talked about throughout the course of the year, that again, not enough voters apparently heard, was you have to take into account the threat to the community posed by somebody. And if they're able to post bail, they get to go, even if they're more of a threat than somebody who doesn't have a lot of money, isn't accused of as violent a crime, but they have to sit in jail because they can't afford bail. And they end up losing their jobs, or they can't take care of their family, and it all starts or continues a cycle. And there are better ways to make sure that bail that judges can take that into consideration. But of course, the super PACs that were slamming Mandela Barnes for that position are still going to come in and appear on the side of Judge Doro and probably former Justice Dan Kelly as well. But, you know, keep in mind that other states have done this already. Illinois became the first state in the country to do away with cash bail entirely. California did away with cash bail for people who couldn't afford it in the last year. These reforms are happening, and they will continue to happen. It's just a matter of, again, will Wisconsin be an island of not reforming something because right-wing money and right-wing messaging overrules the will of the majority? You know, another example of that would be, say, you know, marijuana legalization, where Wisconsin is pretty much an island around other states because right-wing Republicans can't bring themselves to, you know, embracing something that the majority supports and is a good, you know, is a better idea than continuing, you know, a war on drugs over marijuana possession. Same goes for expanding Medicaid and strengthening Badger Care. Wisconsin is an island, again, missing out on billions of dollars because the right-wing Republicans who control the legislature can't bring themselves to moderate their policy in order to do the right thing and do the thing that a majority of Wisconsinites want, including a majority of Wisconsinites who aren't politicians. But now we watch to see if the cash bail position becomes part of this state Supreme Court race. Now, when the billionaire Dick Eline went after Mandela Barnes, he did it under the guise of a super PAC called Wisconsin Truth PAC. This time around, you're going to see commercials from a group called Fair Courts America. Same guy, just a different group, same truckload of money being shoveled in order to hold a conservative majority on that court. And in so doing, again, you're going to hear a lot about the stakes in this race. It's not just about, you know, which side has more money and which side gets more votes. The state Supreme Court race has major implications for daily life. You didn't have the convenience of drop boxes for ballots this year because the state Supreme Court conservative majority struck it down, discovering some flaw in the law about drop boxes that it had never discovered prior to Donald Trump's temper tantrums. The same can be said for voting rights. The same can be said for the right to control your own body, the right to be safe from pandemics. All of these things have been decided upon previously by state Supreme Courts, and these big issues are the ones that voters should consider. And yet, what we've seen so far in this race is a focus solely on Jennifer Doro as a new celebrity, because she was the judge that presided over the trial of the man who committed the Waukesha Parade Massacre. And again, from all reports, she did a very credible job at that, but is now taking that newfound notoriety and putting herself out there for state Supreme Court justice. Well, one Milwaukee television station did a report a day or two ago that did not focus on the issues of public safety, bodily autonomy, the right to vote. The whole report focused on how people know her. And it's that name ID that might put her onto the state Supreme Court because of her celebrity status. Celebrity does not equal qualified and does not mean that her or his positions are the ones that match best with yours and what's best for you and for public safety and for your life and for your prosperity. And it's fine to recognize that Judge Doro has high name ID right now. People know her. But, I mean, one of the people in this report, I mean, compared her to an angel, you know, in terms of her notoriety and her status. And I just wanted to say, stop. That is not how we should be deciding who sits on our state Supreme Court. And as we've discussed, you know, a couple of weeks back, Maybe these kinds of elections are not the way that we should choose a state Supreme Court. Maybe there should be something that is more independent and nonpartisan. Maybe has more of a qualifications test, if you will, than just who can get the most votes because they can get a billionaire to buy ads on their behalf. But keep an eye on that because of the big issues besides celebrity that are behind this state Supreme Court race. Well, we talked about Kanye West and white nationalists a little earlier in the hour, and it turns out that, again, these are interesting times that we have to spend so much time reminding people that, you know, racism is bad, institutional racism is bad and is worthy of acknowledging and tearing down. And yet it's because there's some people that just won't let us forget, like this godmother to Prince William, who said something so stupid and ugly, and of course raises anew the allegations of rampant racism at Buckingham Palace. And so here's Prince William and Kate, the Princess of Wales, who are in the United States for a trip. They've been in Boston, and all of the goodwill that they would hope to engender while here has been overshadowed because recently a senior member of the royal household interrogated a black advocate for survivors of domestic abuse about her origins, asking where she's from. You know, when she said, I'm from England. And she said something along the lines of, no, where are you really from? You know, where in Africa are you from? I mean, just it's ugly. And we've all seen it. You know, I like that somebody said to me, oh, you know, poor William and Kate. Oh, they just discovered that they have a relative who's racist and it's making them uncomfortable. There's a shock. I mean, who among us doesn't have that uncle or that aunt where you go, please stop talking like that. I've had people in my family that hear a name or see a person and they go, so where are they from? And I'll say, Wisconsin. No. Where are they from? It's like, no, seriously, Wisconsin. Now, they might have had ancestors who are from someplace else, but the focus on this is just, well, it's not acceptable. It's not right. It should not ever be tolerated. And yet it is dogging William and Kate right now as they make that trip, you know, to the Boston area. They're trying to visit, you know, an anti-poverty program. They're talking to child development researchers, local flood defenses. They're trying to maintain some goodwill that came in the less than 3 months after Queen Elizabeth passed away. So, you know, they're getting a good greeting. Well, except at the Boston Celtics game where they were booed mercilessly when they were put on the Jumbotron. But I think that was less about the racism in the family and more about the fact that they kept putting them up on the Jumbotron. And, you know, in Boston, as well as other cities, it's like, okay, you're a celebrity. We get it. We don't have to keep coming back to it. And I think, I hope more people are recognizing that the cult of celebrity is what gave us a Donald Trump as president. You know, the cult of celebrity should not be ruling the roost in, you know, royal visits or in state Supreme Court justices. you need to look deeper. You need to look at the things that matter, not the shallow notion of, do I recognize this person and are they famous, but more, what do they stand for? Not just in what they say, but are they silent? And the silence is deafening around things like what Kanye West had to say in certain Republican political circles. And that silence has to be noted, because it is complicity. If you can't find the words to decry what somebody like Ye said, then that does the talking for you. We will be back with Mark Jacob next. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Welcome back. It's a Friday morning. Still getting used to the notion that it's December. Here on the second day of December, we're visiting with Mark Jacob, as we do pretty much every Friday here, to talk about things in the news, how they've been covered, and whether they've been covered adequately or overdone or what have you. We were talking, Mark, in the last segment about just the whole cult of celebrity, whether you're running for state Supreme Court or being elected president of the United States. And I got to think, you're probably as tired as I am, that we have to have these discussions to remind people, don't listen to Nazis and things like that. It's hard to believe that's the world we're in these days.
Yeah. It is. And I think the real mistake is that when somebody becomes famous, whether for whatever reason they become famous, suddenly some legitimacy is conferred upon them by the public, you know. And my wife says this. She says that the reason Trump got elected was because of, you know, that TV show he did, and because he did that TV show, everyone saw him on TV, and immediately when you go on TV, you become legit. You know, it's suddenly, you know, this pixie dust comes down and makes you legit, no matter how, you know, crazy you are and when the kind of things you say. So yeah, there is this weird kind of celebrity dust that gets put on people, and it makes people make bad decisions. You know, Herschel Walker is another example. I mean, there are two reasons he's running for Senate, or that Trump picked him, and others. It's that he's black, so they think that, you know, people won't know the difference between him and Raphael Warnock, which is absurd. And then, you know, and then it's because he used to run with a football really well decades ago, you know, and there really isn't anything else. Everything else is a negative.
Yep.
You know, so, I know what you mean. It's the celebrity thing, I think, has led us astray.
It really hasn't. And as you've said so well yesterday, and others have certainly said the same thing, but you wrote, when I was young, I wondered why Jewish people talked so much about the Holocaust. They said they wanted to make sure history wasn't denied or sanitized. I thought those fears were irrational. After all, there was so much evidence. Now I understand what they were worried about. And Mark, I do too. Like I said, it's strange, but there's a lot of Jewish friends right now saying, I don't want to say I told you so, but here's why we were doing this.
Yeah. I mean, my last name is Jacob, and some people think I'm Jewish. I'm not. I got tons of Jewish friends, and I don't mind being mistaken for a Jewish person. It's a great culture. So when I was growing up Roman Catholic, I did have these feelings that, you know, they're talking about the Holocaust again, whatever. And I love history and I love that. But I was thinking, well, why are they dwelling on that so much? You know, it's the past. And also, as I said in that tweet, there's just so much evidence. There's tons of evidence. There's almost no event in world history that there's more evidence to prove that it happened. And, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, Eisenhower right away said, we're going to send cameras there. We're going to take pictures. We're going to take the townspeople near the concentration camps. We're going to walk them through and show them what was happening there. I mean, he got it. I didn't get it. You know, I'm a kid and I'm thinking, you know, why are they dwelling on this again? Why is it? And now it's obvious. Now it's obvious that there are evil people in the world who not only don't respect facts, but they are assaulting facts. Mm-hmm. and they're going to do the same crap all over again if allowed to. It is really frightening, Pat. I mean, it's frightening that these that I just don't get it. I don't get why anyone would have any antipathy toward any ethnic group. Anti-Semitism just blows my mind. I don't get it. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to holding people to account like that, we should very much have an independent and robust free press. And that became a little bit more difficult this week with another wave of job cuts through, you know, Gannett or whatever it is now, the newspapers associated there, and a big round of layoffs from CNN. We'll get to how that's not a good thing in a second, but forgive me, I'm going to be a little bit personal on this one. There's one layoff that didn't bother me as much, and that was Chris Saliza at CNN, who I don't know how somebody can be so wrong so often about political coverage. And I'm sure he'll land on his feet, but before I feel bad for everybody else, I just wanted to get that little mean streak out of me.
No, I mean, it's people have been asking that for years. How does that guy still have a job? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like in everything else, in building a house or painting a house or building a car or driving a car, there should be accountability. I mean, people are supposed to do their jobs well. And you know, we look at Chris Saliza has been just wrong about everything. And he always comes up with the most absurd take, you know, that, and all, it's always kind of against good sense. It's yes. always, and it's always, to me, it's always amnesia driven. It's like, he doesn't remember what happened in the past. So yeah, I did not mourn that one. I mourn the rest of them though. I mean, it's, when a journalist gets laid off or fired, that's, you know, they're often not going to replace them with another journalist.
Right. My welcome, if you will, into broadcast journalism was when I think I was a senior in college, or maybe it was my first year out, was when the movie Broadcast News came out. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, that ends with a, you know, big series of corporate cuts, and the most shallow are elevated to good jobs, while the experienced journalists, you know, cost too much and are let go. So it's not like this is anything new, but I don't think it should stop us from, again, trying to hold newsroom owners, essentially the corporate owners, to account and say that, you know, if you're not going to give us good journalism, we're not going to watch you. We're not going to subscribe to you.
Yeah, so that's the scary thing that's going on right now. That and I used to work at the Medill School at Northwestern on their local news initiative, and so I've been studying that for, you know, for the last few years, and it's a scary trend as far as the number of working journalists and, you know, how often they've been cut. And right now, you know, hedge funds are owning a large percentage of local news outlets, and they don't care. They just don't care about the journalism. It's a quick buck to them. They're going to go in, they're going to grab the news outlet, they're going to cut the staff, they're going to jack up the subscription rates. The longtime subscribers who either don't notice or it's just built into their habits and they're willing to pay more. And so they'll do that. They'll make a quick buck. And if they're not around in 10 years, you know, no worries for them. They've still made a bunch of money and they walk away that way. So it's just like, just as I said, you know, painting a house, driving a car, people need to be held accountable for the quality of their work. And let me tell you, it's almost a mathematical formula that the more people you have, the better you're going to be. And the fewer people you have, the less good journalism you're going to be able to do.
Right. And that's where I'm really thankful that, you know, somebody like you is still out there calling out, you know, the credible networks, if you will, for those moments when they tarnish their credibility, which you did, you know, with MSNBC bringing on Anthony Scaramucci, Mick Mulvaney being on CBS News, Kellyanne Conway still getting booked for these things. Yeah. Somebody's got to keep reminding these people, you don't have to have on proven liars.
No, you don't. But the thing is, it's, you know, it's, you got to feed the monster though. It's 24/7 news on cable, and they've got to fill those minutes. And the thing about it is, the people who are the charlatans in the whole political game are the ones most willing to come on at any moment. You know, call me, I'll be on at any time. And people who book those shows love that, because they just, you know, call them up, dial them up, there they are. And, you know, and they're available. And really, Pat, they do have minutes to fill. So it's also, the thing about it is, it's finding like an expert on communicable diseases in Iowa would be hard work. I mean, you know, you'd have to call people, you'd have to arrange it, you'd have to meet somebody, you'd have to vet them, you know, or go out there and talk to people. That's all hard work. It's so much easier just to dial up one of these, you know, dial a quote people. It's what we call them in the news business. You know, it's dial a quote. You know, people used to call it, back in the old days, they'd call it the Rolodex, but people don't have Rolodexes anymore, most of them. But it's just, you know, call up the same darn people you've always called up. You know they're going to answer. You know they're going to talk to you. And that's not good journalism. Finding new sources and talking to a wide variety of people, that's good journalism. But it takes a lot more time, and time is money.
Do we think that one of the stories of the year in media circles will be what Elon Musk ended up doing to Twitter?
Oh, yeah, it may be the biggest story. And the thing about that is I'm starting to come around to the idea that I think that the main thing he wanted to do was deplatform a lot of liberals, and that he thought he could get a lot of cred with the kind of big corporations and the Republican Party and the whole right wing by doing that. And he didn't, and I looked it up. I mean, his net worth is so high that if he spends $44 billion for Twitter and it goes to zero, that's less than a quarter of his net worth. So, I mean, it's not like it's a disaster for him. It may just be like the cost of doing business for him. But it's a serious blow to me, to the whole, you know, the whole media ecosystem and the whole, just the national conversation, because people, you know, did talk there and people met people they didn't know and they heard voices they hadn't heard before. And it was just good for the conversation. But I mean, but he's just turning it into crap. I mean, it's the people who are on there, he finally did suspend Kanye yesterday, but only after, you know, sucking up to him for a long time, even though it's obvious. It's been obvious for years, Pat, that the man is both addled and hateful. I mean, it was years ago that he said that slavery was a choice for black people. I mean, the guy's a nut, and but yeah, he's a nut who goes to dinner with the former president of the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now I'm on Twitter and I have, you know, a bunch of followers, so I'd hate to just get rid of that, but I may have to because it's just so poisonous. I'm also on Post and on Mastodon, because those are, in effect, those are my safe houses when I have to flee Twitter.
Well, so, and I have to say, seeing your post about that was the final kick in the pants for me to set up accounts on both of those as well. But, you know, it's taking me a little time to kind of repopulate. I had, sure, you know, something like 500 accounts that I was following that I considered to be a very credible news ticker. And I don't know if I'm going to, I have a feeling we're going to end up that Post and Mastodon are so different and yet similar that I think they're both going to be around for a while. So I'll probably end up having to be on both, and yet also monitoring Twitter while it's still there, because you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to cede the ground to fascists and haters. Right. So social media just got a lot, you know, got to be less easy than it was for a time, but I'm willing to pay that price if it helps me not have to see Nazis and maybe finally get an edit button.
Well, the interesting thing about that, I mean, those two, you know, Post and Mastodon, both, at least at the present, are, I mean, it's weird, because I go on there and nobody's screaming terrible things at each other. Nobody's insulting each other. There's not, you know, all these bizarre kind of anonymous trolley like people. I mean, the atmosphere, you know, it just shocks me how much more humane it is.
Yes.
And you know, so it reminds me that, you know, the Twitter and not Twitter, and even pre Elon Musk had its problems, clearly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But for people like you and me, it was really valuable as a news ticker, as something where you would see really quickly something that had just happened, and you also would get perspectives from people you grew to respect just from reading their work.
Well, and that's the thing. I tell people, whatever social media they choose, and I know I sound like a broken record in it, but, you know, find one or two places, sources that you know you don't always agree with. You don't have to go for a wackadoodle. Right. There's still, but find those things that at least make you think. None of us should want to live in an echo chamber or an ideological bubble. That's just not healthy.
Right, right. And I think that that Twitter actually helped at least me, and I think others, to understand that all sources are not created equal. That some people are idiots, and they're always going to be idiots. And some people, you know, have wise perspectives that will make you think about things the way that you never thought about them before.
And that's the thing. I just want somebody that makes me think and makes me laugh occasionally with some wit. And I always appreciate that from folks, including you. Mark Jacob, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
All right. See you later.
All right. Take care. Dan Schumacher is coming up next to tell us about a very busy sports weekend across Wisconsin right after this. This is Up North News Radio. All right, let's play Name That Tune with Dan Schumacher. What are we listening to, Dan? Do you know? Yeah, it's a little tough to come through. This is Ripple, but Ripple. It's not the typical Grateful Dead. It's Bob Weir and Wolf Bros. And the only reason I know any of that is they were profiled on CBS Sunday Morning last weekend about how they were performing with the National Symphony at the at the Kennedy Center, setting the Grateful Dead tunes to symphony music.
Yep, it's taking another it's taking it to another level. Another level.
That's just amazing. So Dan, our resident Deadhead expert here, so we just wanted to learn a bit more about the Dead. Hey, before we get to sports, let's do something really serious first, simply because you're at UW Eau Claire. While I was attending UW Eau Claire, Larry Schnack became chancellor. He passed away this week, and so I just wanted to, you know, raise a toast to him, because he was a really good leader and a really nice person.
You know, I had the chance to have breakfast with him a couple times. I know he was probably the most supportive person during the process when Chancellor Schmidt was being chosen as the chancellor. I know Chancellor Schmidt has a tremendous amount of respect for Dr. Schnack, and everybody on campus was really aware of it, and people were telling a lot of stories yesterday about his leadership.
Oh, I'll bet. We used the inauguration ceremony as a reason at the college radio station, WUEC. The campus had just turned 70 years old, and we did a seven-hour special where we tried to find some of the oldest alumni and talk about the history of the university. And I mean, that was just so rewarding. And the same can be said for any campus around the state, that if, you know, we think of it as just a place where you go attend classes and see sports, but, you know, every one of those places has a history component to it as well, that I think people would find really rewarding. So I just wanted to, again, tip my cap to Chancellor Schnack on his passing. All right, let's get to sports. I forgot to put a can in my can koozie here, but it's in green and cold. It says the Bears still suck. But then again, as you heard my wife say to you recently, there's going to be equal amounts of suckage on the field this Sunday, probably between the Packers and Bears.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, you know, settling in on the south side of Chicago on a Sunday back in 1976 to watch the Bears and Packers play when they both were really suckage. So,
but maybe it's even that way, because I mean, we got Aaron Rodgers for our side with you know, a busted up thumb and ribs, and I don't know, who do you guys have now? Is it Jay Cutler? What's I've lost track of
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields. I haven't seen the stat. I should have looked it up. How many starting quarterbacks the Bears have had during the time that the Packers have just had Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback? It's not a tiny number.
28.
28.
I actually know that. Can you believe
that? Oh, God, exactly. Well, anyway, here's the thing. Last year, Rodgers wins. You know, the Packers have won, you know, seven in a row against the Bears. And of course, he was screaming to the crowd, "I still own you." He has a 24-5 record if you count the playoffs. So he has a good record against the Bears. But I don't know. I mean, are you feeling, do you have any feeling of confidence given what Rodgers' year has been like?
I don't, because he is still Aaron Rodgers. And he still has a lot to play. He's got a lot of play still left in him. He's one of the best that's ever played the position. He does love playing in Chicago. I do know that. And he's had incredible success, just like Brett Favre did. But I think that there is a chance why I don't say there is a chance and there's not a chance is that the Bears defense is the worst defense I've seen the Bears. One thing about the Chicago Bears for all these years, they might have sucked, but their defense was always good. Mm-hmm. And this is not the case where the offense is actually better than the defense and they both suck. But, you know, I don't know what to think. I think if it's going to be on somebody's shoulders, it's Justin Fields as he's carried the team most of the way to be competitive. Mm-hmm. But do I think the Bears still winning? No, I don't see him. I think Aaron will, he'll have his day.
I think we'll manage to enjoy the game anyway, despite both of us feeling extremely frustrated at times. And again, we come into this game with both the Packers and Bears tied with 786 regular season wins each, you know, most wins in the NFL, and that'll just continue to go back and forth. Now, Badger Volleyball, the NCAA tournament begins tonight at the UW Fieldhouse. The Badger women taking on Quinnipiac at 7 o'clock. The first game is UWash taking on TCU at 4:30. The Badgers are the defending national champions, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch tonight.
Oh, yeah, it has been. I mean, last year was a special year in the state of Wisconsin for volleyball. And
as you well know, yes.
Yes. And so I think what Coach Sheffield has done down at coming from Dayton University to Wisconsin, four straight Big Ten championships, a national championship. I mean, you just can't ask for more from a coach than what he's provided the Badgers in his leadership and his acumen when it comes to volleyball. And mm-hmm. so I would imagine it's a Final Four appearance again for the Badgers as it comes down the road, you know, comes right down the road here now.
Probably will. Also, there's a Bucks game tonight. Chris Middleton coming back for the first time since he had wrist surgery back in July. So a lot of people will be watching that. What are you watching out for around the WIAC or elsewhere in Wisconsin this weekend?
You know what's unusual, Pat, is that we have no football teams left in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We have volleyball teams left in the playoffs in the NCAAs. Cross country just concluded their national championships. All the fall sports are done. So, including the WIAC total because the postseason, they got knocked out. So we're in crossover time, the end of fall into winter. And right now I'm watching hockey and basketball across the board. Swimming, wrestling, indoor track and field, that'll heat up right after the first of the year. But right now it's all been about our women's basketball team at Eau Claire is ranked, 13th in the country and number one in the league. And men's basketball is on a four-game winning streak. And men's hockey just beat St. Norbert's, swept them last week, and St. Norbert's was ranked number two in the country. So for me, selfishly, and with my school, I'm watching those sports. But I'm also watching the Stevens Points of the world, the Whitewaters, on how they're progressing with some of their teams as well.
So, yeah, we are getting to that time of year where I'm supposed to hit you up to head down to Water Street and down to the Hobbs Ice Arena and go watch some blue gold hockey here. So
it is. It's that time of year. We've got about the whole WIAC has about another week and a half left of competition before we have a mandatory break. Mm-hmm. And that mandatory break starts about the 15th of December and then games resume. So right after finals and Christmas, so the 27th or 28th of December, we crank it back up.
Okay. Oh, it's do you get a chance to breathe in between these two seasons or?
I will in another week and a half done with all of our home events, then mm-hmm. the 2-week hiatus through Christmas. So, you know, that gives a chance for my staff, myself, even the coaches and players, a chance to rejuvenate, maybe spend some time with their family, right. and continue to, you know, put in perspective what's really important.
All right. And, Here's what's really important. World Cup. Who do you got tomorrow? U.S. or the Netherlands?
Oh, man.
You got 5 seconds.
Netherlands.
Okay, there we go. Thank you, Dan. Have a good start to the weekend.
All right, good. Have a good weekend, Pat.
All right. We'll see you. That's it for today. Earl Ingram's next in Waukesha. Stephanie Miller in Madison. Todd Alba for everyone else along the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.